Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is March 23rd, 2016, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Enter the Metrics. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Brent Toma. Brent is an emergency physician, trauma team leader, clinical assistant professor, and the director of EM research at the University of Saskatoon in Saskatchewan. And as of July 1st, he will become the EM program director. Welcome to the SGEM, Brent.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
You know, I first met you back in 2013 when you were winning the award at the Canadian Association of Emergency Physicians Resident of the Year. And you know what? Back then, it was obvious that you were a rising star in the world of medical education.
Oh, thanks, Ken. I mean, it's been quite a journey since I started out boring EM those years ago. But I think I've really just been quite lucky to meet a group of people like you who have made my work a whole lot of fun.
Well, it has been way too long since you were on the SGEM.
How long has it been?
Well, you know what? I looked back and it's been about 2 years the last time you were on the SGEM, back in season number two.
Geez, hard to believe. I think that's more my fault than yours.
Well, you've been pretty busy. But back on SGEM number 56, Beam Me Up, Impact Factor in the Age of Social Media, you discussed this new idea of social media, impact factor, and medical education with Dr. Chris Carpenter. And Chris had just published a new study in Academic Emergency Medicine looking at how the best evidence in emergency medicine rater score correlated with that traditional journal impact metrics.
Yeah, a lot has happened since then, and actually some of the stuff we're going to be talking about today comes directly from that research.
Well, you know, a lot has happened. I mean, you've graduated, you're on faculty now, published some really, really great med ed papers, and you got married.
And we even got a puppy, so that's pretty cool. But to all the med students and residents out there, life really is awesome when you finally finish.
Well, this is going to be an SGEM extra, so there's going to be no critical review.
Yeah, no discussion of confidence intervals, bias, heterogeneity, or other nerdy stuff. How am I even going to know I'm listening to the SGEM, Ken?
No, instead, we're going to talk a little bit about skepticism, a little bit more about FOMED, and then tell everyone about this research project you've got going on called the Metric Study.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Okay, so let's start with skepticism, Brent. And it's an excellent place to start, considering the podcast is called The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. But when I say skeptic, you think?
I think Ken Milne. I mean, I can't say I know anyone else who has built such a positive brand by being such a critic.
Well, it's nice that you say it's positive because, you know, often people think skeptics are closed-minded, cynical, and don't believe in anything. But that's not true.
No, you're right. The Wikipedia defines skepticism as a questioning attitude towards unempirical knowledge or opinions and beliefs that are stated as facts, or even doubt regarding claims that are taken for granted elsewhere. So it's not a terrible thing.
No, you know, skepticism to me basically means that I want to see some good evidence before I believe something's true.
Seems like a good philosophy to me.
Well, you know what? It's especially good to be skeptical of the medical literature.
Why?
Well, there's this amazing paper by Dr. John Ioannidis, and it's called Why Most Published Research Findings Are False. And this thing was published over 10 years ago in PLOS.
Yeah, great paper. I think it should probably be core content for any medical student, resident, or new physician.
But, you know, with skepticism, we need to avoid nihilism and not conclude that nothing works. What we're really trying to achieve is a healthy skepticism and to remain open-minded, and we need to be ready to reject that null hypothesis when presented with convincing evidence to the contrary.
Absolutely.
But you know what, Brent, that's enough about skepticism. Let's move on to this thing called FOMED. You're familiar with the term FOMED?
Yeah, I'm quite familiar. It has really had a transformative effect on emergency medicine education, even since I started residency.
Well, do you know where it all started?
Rumor has it, over a pint of Guinness in Ireland.
That's right. The famous story from Dublin, Ireland, back in 2012, where a few Australians got together over a pint or two of a foamy liquid and came up with this idea of FOMED.
Yeah, I think it was a really nice way to rebrand social media because that seems to have such a negative context for in medical education and in medicine in general.
So they coined this term FOMED. What does FOMED stand for?
So free open access medical education, or MEDUCATION.
And it was to be medical education for anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah. In the writing they've done on FOAM, the creators have defined it not as a teaching philosophy or strategy, but as a globally accessible, crowdsourced educational adjunct, which provides contextual and asynchronous content to augment traditional educational principles. It's just really an add-on to the things that we're already doing in medical education.
Well, you know what, Brent? I often think of FOMED as the Netflix of medical education.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, rather than learning in a very structured way, like the old TV schedules where everyone would get together and watch Friends or Seinfeld on a certain night, now the learner is in control of their own educational needs and they can consume what they want when they want.
So you can binge learn on any topic at your own speed and on your own schedule.
Yeah, and FOMED, the movement, has just one objective.
What's that?
Well, it's to make the world a better place. Which sort of reminds me of Bill Nye the Science Guy. Do you even know who that is, or am I dating myself?
Yeah, he's the guy with the bow ties, right?
Yeah, he had a bow tie. And I loved Bill Nye the Science Guy and his TV show from the 1990s. But Bill Nye the Science Guy encouraged us in science and made us believe that we could change the world.
Sounds like he really inspired you.
Yeah, but, you know, he did. But if you want a more contemporary example, you can always think of Steve Jobs from Apple.
Him I remember. He had his famous Think Different.
It's the Think Different commercial. Yeah, that ad had great dialogue.
Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits. The rebels. The troublemakers. The round pegs in the square holes. The ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
I guess it was the crazy ones from Australia who started the FOMED movement and are changing the world for the better in this story.
Yeah, certainly. And how did you, Brent Toma, get started in this whole FOMED movement?
Yeah, well, as a resident, I began reading a lot of FOAM resources, and I found that my knowledge of the sexy aspects of emergency medicine, like airways, ultrasound, resuscitation, they were really progressing nicely. But I began to struggle with some of the other topics, pediatrics, geriatrics, that sort of thing. Boring EM was my way to make me focus on the less sympathomimetic aspects of emergency medicine.
Well, you know, I've read your blog and there was nothing boring about it. And it was very successful. But now that you're an attending, now that you've graduated, you've moved on from boring EM.
Yeah, absolutely. We have. I mean, we still are keeping up with the more boring aspects, but we're really excited to launch canadiem.org, that's canadiem.org, on January 1st. We've got a cutting-edge new website, an expanding team, and a plan to, as I mentioned, take the focus beyond the boring to really get to medical issues that are important to Canadian emergency physicians.
So who do you have involved in this Canadian EM team of yours?
Well, it's a big team. I really don't know how you do it alone, Ken. We've got an army of characters on our editorial team. It includes myself, and the ever-prolific Teresa Chan, who do a lot of the overall coordinating, Eve Purdy and Sarah Luckett, who have recently been joined by Fareen Zavir as editors of the Medical Concepts section, Ed Kwok and Shabazz Syed from Ottawa head up our opinion section. We've recently added Naresha Velmurugaya and Daniel Ting to a team working on some special national projects. And finally, Elvin Chin and Kelvin Ye have come on board as infographic editors.
What's this mission that you have of this Canadian EM site?
So at Canadiem, we are aiming to improve emergency medicine care in Canada by building an online community of practice for healthcare practitioners and providing them with high-quality, freely available educational resources.
Well, Canadiem has been launched. January 1st, and it's already a huge success, Brent. And one of the best things that I've seen you guys put out is that infographic on the top five changes of the new AHA guidelines.
Yeah, wow, that post has been viewed 25,000 times or more on our websites. The graphics themselves have been shared 30,000 to 40,000 times on Twitter and Facebook. And it's really just, it's taken on a life of its own. They've been translated into different languages. I keep seeing pictures of them posted on walls of resuscitation room. It's really taken off.
Well, you hit that one out of the park, in my opinion. But it's so great to have a Canadian site like the amazing one that Australia has with Life in the Fast Lane.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're there yet, but you know, there's that. There's Life in the Fast Lane, that amazing American site, Academic Life and Emergency Medicine with Michelle Lynn.
And don't forget those superstars, Simon Carley, Natalie May, and the whole team from the UK at St. Emlyn's.
You know, there are so many other great sites around the world. I'm not sure we're going to be on the level of those ones yet, but we're really proud to provide a distinctly Canadian emergency medicine resource with CanadiEM.org.
So FOMED has really taken off. It's become popular for asynchronous learning. Residents certainly have been early adopters to the podcasts and the blogs as resource for medical education.
Yeah, we did a study in Canada, and Dr. Mallon did one in the United States, and we found that more than 80% of residents are accessing the 200 or so English language blogs and podcasts in emergency medicine on a regular basis.
So the FOMED movement, boy, it's reached a big global audience quickly. But you know what? That doesn't necessarily mean it's a good way to learn. It just could be a logical fallacy, an argument from popularity.
Yeah, I believe that's known as the bandwagon fallacy. Just because something's popular and lots of people are doing it does not make it true.
So we need some evidence, Brent. We need to turn our skeptical eye even on our own stuff, like FOMED.
Well, you are our skeptic in emergency medicine, after all.
Okay, so how about we start with some eminence as evidence? You're familiar with Dr. Joe Lex and his famous quote about medical education and foam?
I am.
Yeah, well, there was a pro-con foam debate in EP Monthly a couple of years ago.
Definitely remember that.
And I actually interviewed Dr. Nick Jeans from the con side of things, but I wanted to get Joe Lex in on the pro side on the SGEM. So you know what I did? I just Googled him.
Googled him?
Yeah, I just Googled him and found out what his office phone number is and cold called him. And guess what? He answered.
What did you say to him?
Well, I explained to him, "Hi, Dr. Lex, I'm a Canadian EM podcaster, and would you please give your famous FOMED line?" And you know what? He graciously agreed to record the statement.
So cool.
Yeah. However, Dr. Lex is also known to many of us as the godfather of the FOMED movement.
Yeah, he's like a conference Robin Hood. He's been going to conferences for years, recording the lectures, and then putting them up on his website for free.
Yeah, and so in that spirit of Marshall McLuhan...
That's the medium is the message guy?
That is that guy. But he also said, quote, "Anyone who tries to make a distinction between education and entertainment doesn't know the first thing about either."
I totally agree.
So I asked Dr. Lex to put on his best Marlon Brando Godfather voice and record his famous saying, and he did it. And I'll play a clip here.
This is Dr. Joe Lex in Philadelphia. If you want to know how we practiced emergency medicine 5 years ago, read a textbook. If you want to know how we practiced emergency medicine 2 years ago, read a journal article. If you want to know how we practice emergency medicine now, go to a good conference. But if you want to know how we will practice emergency medicine in the future, listen to the conversations in the hallways and use foam. Take the hashtag, leave the classroom.
What a guy.
But we need more evidence, better evidence, stronger evidence that FOMED can improve knowledge translation.
You are always saying that it traditionally takes 10 years or so for knowledge translation to happen.
Yeah, it has been shown to take over 10 years for high-quality, clinically relevant information to reach the patient's bedside.
And why is that, Ken?
Well, it takes over a decade because of all the leaks in the system. And Pathman et al. Put forth this concept about 20 years ago. And these leaks in the pipeline was beautifully illustrated in the paper in Academic Emergency Medicine by Diner et al. Almost 10 years ago. And guess how many leaks they described?
The 7 leaks.
Yeah, not my favorite number, 7. And each leak started with the letter A.
Yeah, the first was awareness.
So how are physicians supposed to provide the best care if they're not even aware of the best evidence?
Exactly.
So we know that the traditional model takes too long. And we know that social media and FOMED is fast. But the question that always comes up about FOMED, what about the quality?
Yeah, I know. It's weird. No one ever seems to question the quality of a textbook. And few people seem to question the quality of peer-reviewed publications. What about lectures? Like, where does the structured critical review of lectures come into play? No one's critically appraising them. We just take them at face value.
I hear you.
Are you familiar with Clay Christensen's theory of disruptive innovations?
No, I am not that familiar with this theory of disruptive innovations.
So this is one I've really gotten into. And basically, it posits that disruptive innovations, I think FOMED would be an example of those, they start free, but they're not great quality. So they're easy to access for everyone, and people start using them. Over time, people start improving them because they're being used, and they get better and they get better until they're basically as good as the thing that they're disruptive. And they still come at a fraction of the cost. And I think emergency medicine is really disrupting traditional medical education with FOMED.
Emergency medicine does seem to attract disruptive personalities. So let's get to this metric study that you're doing. First of all, what does metric stand for?
I'll admit we reached a little bit to come up with that acronym, but it stands for Medical Education Translational Resources, Impact and Quality. Metric with a Q. The translational resources that we are referring to in this case are, of course, blogs and podcasts.
So, Brent, what led you to wanting to do this metric study?
So the last time I was on the podcast, we talked about the social media index, and that was our attempt at coming up with an impact factor for FOAM. The idea was that we could quantify the relative impact of blogs and podcasts so that trainees could find them and so that producers who were making them could get credit for them. Well, I think we were successful to some degree in doing that, and we even actually published those findings in the Western Journal of Emergency Medicine. We did receive a lot of criticism from FOAM luminaries like Scott Weingart and Simon Carley, in part because as a metric, it really didn't account for whether these resources were actually good quality.
Well, we answered some of that criticism with the Delphi studies looking at quality indicators for blogs and podcasts.
Yeah, in that series of studies, we came up with a bunch of good quality indicators that would help us to evaluate blogs and podcasts, but unfortunately, they didn't really provide an easy way for readers and listeners to take those and evaluate those resources critically.
So what's the hypothesis for this metric study?
We're actually looking at a few hypotheses in the data that we're going to be collecting, but the primary one is that we can develop a tool for junior trainees like medical students that will help them to reliably evaluate the quality of blogs and podcasts. We're attempting to validate at least one of three proposed quality evaluation instruments. Some of your listeners might be familiar with the LEMAIR score that was developed by our friends at Academic Life and Emergency Medicine. And from the Delphi studies that we've done, we've actually derived two other scores called the Metric 5 and the Metric 8 score. I think the best clinical parallel to what we're trying to do with this study is Jeff Perry's subarachnoid head clinical decision rule. Just like him, we've derived three tools, and we're now trying to validate them in the real world. It's just that his studies were on head bleeds, and ours are for blog and podcast quality.
So what's your primary outcome that you're looking for?
So interestingly, Metric is actually designed and powered to be an equivalent study. Now, that's not a study design that is very common, but we're hoping to prove that at least one of these scoring systems will closely approximate the mean Gestalt quality evaluation of a group of emergency medicine attending physicians. Basically, we're hoping to give medical students a tool that they can use to evaluate a blog or a podcast and come up with the exact same conclusion that a room full of emergency medicine attendings would.
So what kind of methods are you using to find this out?
Well, the biggest thing is the data collection. The statistics are going to be complicated, and we've got some PhD statisticians involved with that. But really what we need right now is to recruit a huge number of medical students, emergency medicine residents, and emergency medicine attendings to rate a bunch of blog posts. Based on our power calculations, we need approximately 64 people from each group to rate 20 separate blog posts.
And so what are your numbers like as of today? As of our recording, here we are on March 23rd. What kind of numbers have you got back so far?
So we're really off to a great start, but we still got a long way to go. So far, we've had a total of 220 people expressed interest in the study, and they've all been sent the information. Of those, 113 have started rating posts, and 42 have completed all of their rating, and that takes about 90 minutes. We're hoping that the responses will continue to roll in over the next weeks and months, and we're going to keep recruiting to ensure that we have at least 64 people from each group that finish all of their rating.
Well, Brent, you know what my favorite number is, 5, right?
Oh, I do, Ken.
So I was wondering, can you give us 5 reasons why a medical student, resident, and or attending should enter the metrics and complete the survey?
Absolutely. So first off, you will learn. You'll learn both medical knowledge while you're reviewing the blog posts, and you'll also learn by going through the study how you can better evaluate them for quality.
Oh, so it sounds like time leveraging, and I like that. So I can be learning medicine, and I can also be learning how to assess FOMED quality at the same time. That sounds good to me.
Absolutely. And reason number 2, you'll help. You're going to help trainees, other trainees, by contributing to the development of tools that will help them to evaluate their resources.
Well, that sounds nice and altruistic.
Absolutely. Reason 3, it's easy. If you're already reading blogs, if you're already listening to podcasts anyways, you're really just going to be doing more of the same.
Oh, so I don't have to change what I'm doing already.
Nope. And reason number 4, you're going to get credit. Everyone that completes their rating is given the option to be recognized as a collaborator on all of the publications that are going to come from this data.
Well, I never mind getting a little credit.
Reason 5, you will help to make FOAM better. And I think this is the biggest reason for why we need people to do the study. Ultimately, we truly believe that this research will help make the resources, these blogs and these podcasts that we're using, better. And that's going to benefit you, and it's going to benefit future learners, and it may even help to cut down that knowledge translation window.
So I can actually be like Bill Nye the Science Guy or Steve Jobs and change the world for the better.
Sure can. Just put on a bow tie or a black turtleneck and complete the metric study.
I just won't put on the bow tie and the turtleneck at the same time. But you know what? I've already completed the metric study. So now it's time for the S-Jammers to pay back that FOMED community for all the great free medical education out there. So if you're listening, please sign up today and finish the metric study. I'll have a link on the blog. But what is the web address so those who are listening just to podcasts can find it?
Absolutely. The address is metricstudy.org. Note that metric is spelt with a Q. So the address is metricstudy.org. And all the information on signing up for the study is there.
It's time to announce the Keener Contest winner. Last week's winner was Daruba Tamuli, an EM resident from Hull Royal Infirmary in the United Kingdom. They knew another clinical indication for mannitol, other than raised intracranial pressure, is for the reduction of elevated intraocular pressure. There's no Keener contest question this week, but don't panic. The SGEM will be back next week with another critical appraisal trying to cut that knowledge translation window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year. Until then, Brent, can you give the SGEM tagline?
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next week.